Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do praise you for your word. We praise you that it is living and active, that it is for us this morning so that we might see new mercies in it. Please, we pray that you would help us to delight in your Son, who he is, what he's done for us, and help us to trust and love him. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, thanks, John, for reading. It is parable. We are working our way through Jesus' parables in Luke's Gospel, and I want to start by, before we look at this parable, I want to start by telling you about one of my favorite inventions ever. It's called Find My iPhone, and it is a little map. If you've got an Apple product, it is a little map that appears on your iPhone and on your Mac, and if you are a particular Muppet called Andy and you like to lose your phone or lose your iPad or lose your iPad or lose your kids, this is the invention for you. I think you can buy little key rings now that mean that you can put them on your keys and find your keys. But where this invention comes in handy is if, theoretically speaking, your wife has gone out to have dinner with a friend and she has asked you to clear up after the kids and she's asked you to tidy up the house and do the washing up before she gets back. This is where this invention comes into its own. I've renamed it Find My Wife Tracker. So you can turn it on and set it to beep just at exactly the right moment when you've got just the right amount of time for you to finish your Netflix binge and then do the washing up and clear up after the kids, just in the nick of time. There we go. That's my favorite invention, hypothetically speaking. I've actually got an Android phone, so it doesn't work anymore. So there we go. But it is amazing. Now, today's parable is the Bible's version of Find My iPhone. It is a parable which is all about Jesus' return. All about Jesus' return. It's not just one parable, actually. It's three little parables in one. And it's says Jesus is returning. It says Jesus is returning. Be ready. Be ready. Jesus is returning. You see in sentence 35, we see the command, be ready. John's reading said, be dressed. Be ready. Verse 40, be ready. I wonder whether you knew that Jesus is returning. He's been once. And he is coming back, just like a good rock star. He is coming back. And throughout the New Testament, the Bible writers and Jesus himself tells us that he is returning, that Jesus is returning to both judge the world and to save his people. See, there are two ways that you will meet Jesus. We heard about the first way last week with the parable of the parable of the rich fool. We learned about him last week. The first way that you'll meet Jesus is through death. You'll meet him when you die. And if you don't meet him when you die, you'll meet him when he returns. So last week was about meeting Jesus and being prepared for when we die. This week is about being ready and meeting Jesus when he returns. And this parable exhorts us to be ready for Jesus' return. Be ready. A lady once asked the 18th century preacher John Wesley that suppose he were to know that he would die at midnight tomorrow. Sorry, I've got that wrong. Suppose he were to know that Jesus would return at midnight tomorrow, how would he spend his remaining time? John Wesley said this. He says, why, madam, just as I intend to spend it now, I would preach this evening at Gloucester and again at 5 tomorrow morning. After that, I would ride to Tewkesbury, preach in the afternoon, and meet the societies in the evening. I would then go to Reverend Martin's house, who expects to entertain me, talk and pray with the family as usual, retire at my room at 10 o'clock, commend myself to my Heavenly Father, lie down to rest, and wake up in glory. How would you change your life if you knew John Wesley? How would you change your life, John Wesley, if you knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow at midnight? he says, I'll do it exactly the same. Well, let me ask you, how would you change your life? What would you do differently if you knew that Jesus was returning tomorrow at midnight? What would you do? Who would you speak to? What would you say? How would you spend your money? What would you buy? Where would you go? Knowing that Jesus is returning tomorrow at midnight, how would you live? Now, I've pondered this question over the last week or so, and I've got to be honest. I'm not entirely sure that the return of Jesus explicitly shapes my life. I know it's happening. I went to Bible college. I know that Jesus is returning in Greek and Hebrew and all these theologians' words. But does it shape my life? If I'm honest, I don't think it does. I don't think I think about it enough. I don't think I make enough decisions in light of Jesus returning. And if you breathe the same air as me, then you will be the same also. Jesus tells us this parable. He says, be ready. Verse 35, be ready for service and have your lamps lit. You must be like people waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can open the door for him at once. Those slaves the master will find alert when he comes will be blessed. Now, the thing we need to know is that wedding parties in Jesus' day were major events. They were like an 18th birthday party. They went all day, they went all evening, and they would go for some time. In England, if you have the equivalent, which is a posh ball, you get the invite, and on the invite it says, carriages at midnight. It's very, you know you've made it when you receive an invite that says carriages at midnight. But here, with these wedding banquets, they just went on until all the booze had gone and the food had gone and the music had stopped. And no one knew when they were going to end. And so we're told here that the slaves, who were the lowest of the low in the household hierarchy, they should wait up so that they could tend to the master as he arrived home. And Jesus says to us, he says, we're to wait like those slaves. The phrase be alert or get dressed, did it say in yours, John? Get dressed for action. In the Greek, literally says, gird your loins. Gird your loins. And to gird your loins is to get ready for work, travel, or battle. Here's a picture of how you gird your loins. So if you're a first century chap, you wore a long dress, and you can't run in a long dress. So you have to gird your loins, hoik them up, and then you are ready with your sword to hack someone's head off, or run in this case. And this phrase is taken specifically from the Old Testament book of the Exodus, when God told his people, the Hebrews, that they were to leave at once, to be ready for travel. Gird your loins. Equivalent today might be get your coat on, or get your skates on, or be at battle stations ready, something like that. You can chat about what the equivalent is over morning tea. We are to be ready to travel, ready to go. The second way we're to be ready, did you spot that? It says the second way that the servants are to be ready is to have their lamps lit. Now, it's hard to appreciate why we need to have our lamps lit. They were powered by oil. You ran out of oil. If you've ever had your mobile phone run out of battery, you'll know roughly the equivalent. But back in the day, they didn't have electricity, so when your lamp ran out of oil, it was completely black. You couldn't even see your hand, let alone your master returning. And so we're told to have our lamps lit, we're to have our eyes open. You're told to have your phone on charge so that your Jesus app can be running at all time to see when the master returns. Jesus says, be ready, have your lamps lit and your loins girded. Now, we live in a world, don't we, that is used to getting ready. every weekday morning in our house, we are yelling at the top of our voice, get your shoes on, get your uniform on, where's your jumper, have you cleaned your teeth, get in the car. Now, I noticed that no one turned up today in their PJs. No one turned up. Well done. That is good. No one turned up in their pajamas. I think everyone has got two shoes on. I hope everyone brushed their teeth before they came to church. We are used to getting ready. I wonder whether you're ready for Jesus' return. Are you ready for Jesus' return? Jesus said we need to be ready because of verse 39. Have a look with me at verse 39. But know this, if the homeowner had known what hour the thief was coming, he would have not have let his house be broken into. You also be ready because the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. This is our second little parable. You notice they're all mashed into one. They're slightly different but slightly the same. And the parable tells us Jesus is returning, and we don't know when. So Jesus is ready, be ready. Jesus is returning, we don't know when. Since moving to Rocco, I've joined a Facebook group called the Cooling Up Crime Watch. Cooling Up Crime Watch, Cooling Ghetto, as we like to call it. Cooling Up Crime Watch. And now on this Facebook group, there's all kinds of notices and warnings about people doing dodgy stuff around the neighborhood, looking into cars. There's notices of lost cats, stolen bikes, and houses being broken into. I've seen lots of those posts, but I've never seen a post that says this. Dear Cooling Up, on the 21st of August at 3:22 a.m., I will be breaking into 17 Bonnie Doon Court. If all the residents in the street could kindly turn off their CCTV doorbells and residents of said property could kindly be out for the night and perhaps leave your doors unlocked and all your valuables in one nice neat pile for me to pick up, I would be most thankful. Yours sincerely, Bob the Burglar. I have never seen that. I have never seen that. And that is because burglars come when you're out. They come when you least expect, when you're asleep, when you have left the door unlocked, when you think your property is secured. Burglars come. And so Jesus says he is coming back when you least expect, like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. He says, no one knows the day or the hour. We're told elsewhere in the Bible that he will come like a thief in the night, that no one knows the hour, not even the angels. He's coming any minute. He's at the very gates. He might interrupt this sermon. He'll probably interrupt someone's sermon. He's coming any second. Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus? We don't know when he's coming. We live in a world that's so set up to protect us from future disasters. You can get insurance for anything, for all type of disasters, income insurance, property insurance, life insurance. We prepare for disasters in the future. And we prepare for our retirement. We spend our life getting ready for our retirement. Many of us have done that. We're living that life now. Well done. But the question this throws into the mix, this parable throws into the mix, are you ready for Jesus' return? Are you ready for Jesus' return? Are you ready to leave any second? Are you keeping watch on the Find My Jesus, Locate My Jesus app and seeing that Jesus is on the horizon? I went around for lunch at Dave and Karen's house the other week, and they were telling me that their house is in the middle of a fire zone. And last year in the fire season, they were in a season where they had to have their bag and their car full of valuables ready to leave at any moment. And sure enough, the fires came through Quinana, they were on high alert, and then they got the call, and they had to get in the car and leave with their suitcase and their cars packed with the Beatles record collection and the precious family photos and enough clothes for a couple of weeks. And they left knowing, thinking that their house was going to be burnt to the ground. Imagine that. Well, when Jesus comes, there's no boot to fill. There's no precious possessions. There's only Jesus. Jesus is coming when we don't expect. Are you ready for him? Are you ready for him? Well, our final little parable is in verses 42 to 48 of our passage. And it's prompted when Peter, who is Jesus' best mate, asks this question in verse 41. He says, Lord, Peter asked, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? And Jesus responds with this. He says, the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible manager his master will put in charge of his household servants to give them their allotted food at the proper time? That slave whose master finds him working when he comes will be rewarded. And what this parable is saying is that Jesus is returning and that we are to ready other people. So not only are we to get ourselves ready, but we are to ready other people. And Jesus goes on to tell this third little parable about four different types of managers who are kind of managing the slaves. Remember, the slaves are the bottom of the household, the bottom run of the hierarchy in those households. And the slaves would have these managers, these foremen. And Jesus says there are four different types of manager. The one who will be rewarding for readying others. The one who says the master is delaying and he's not coming back. So let's eat and drink and party hard. He will be punished. Did you see that? He will be punished. We're told he'll be cut into pieces. There will be another type of manager who knew that his master was coming back and didn't act. He will be beaten. And the one who did not know what was going on, well, he would be shown leniency. Now, this parable is aimed specifically at the leaders of God's people. That's what Peter's question means. He said, are you talking to everyone or are you talking to just us? And Jesus doesn't answer Peter's question, but answers with this parable. And he says that if you have got oversight over people, then how you lead them, how you ready them for Jesus' return will have eternal consequences. And it's a parable that's designed to put a rocket up pastors like me. It's designed to put a rocket up leaders who lead God's people because there will be consequences of how we pastors lead people, how we pastor people. There will be consequences for not preparing people for Jesus' return. Now, let me say at this point that I'm sorry if I've not done that. I'm deeply, deeply sorry. I can stuff up the rosters. I can stuff up something that we've done for 100 years that I didn't know about. I can stuff up this and stuff up that. But I can't stuff up helping you to be ready for Jesus' return. I know Jesus' return is abstract and it's big and it's hard to get our heads around that Jesus is coming back. But know from my heart that I'm sorry if I haven't told you. If you didn't know that, I'm sorry if I haven't told you already. I'm sorry if I haven't told you clear enough, if I haven't told you often enough, I haven't told you with enough seriousness enough. I like to joke. But this is serious and it deserves seriousness. So let me repent now. Repentance means turning around. Let me say, Jesus is coming. Hear me now. Done my job. Fine. Jesus is returning. We don't know when. Jesus is returning. Be ready. Be ready. Friends, if you're here today and you haven't given your life to Jesus, to be ready for you is to give your life to Jesus. You could have been coming to church for centuries and not belong to Jesus. If that's you, say, let this be the day Don't hold off any longer. Ready yourself for Jesus' return now. Say sorry for not living for God. Say thank you to Jesus for dying for you, instead of you, and because of you. And say, please, Lord Jesus, come into my life, be in charge of my life. Give me the joy that you bring. And say to him, Lord Jesus, when you return, I want to meet you as my friend and not as my enemy. Lord Jesus, help me to live for you and know the joy and the peace and the hope that you bring. Amen. If that's you, I'd love you to pray that prayer afterwards. You can come and pray with me during communion. You can take communion. You can take communion for the first time today, trusting in Jesus' death for you as his friend and not his enemy. Be prepared. That's how you, one way that you can prepare for Jesus' return, because Jesus is returning. Said this is a parable. This third parable is largely a parable for those that lead God's people. But if you belong to Christ, if you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus, it's also a parable for you. Because God has put people in your life, in your path, and in your networks that don't know him. And they need to be ready for Jesus. If you're a Christian, by default, you are a manager of people who are waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus. God has given us his grace. His grace is so massive that he puts us in his plan for salvation. He gives us his gospel. He gives us people that we and equips us to talk about Jesus to them, to live out Jesus in front of them, so that they would be ready for Jesus. And we're to do that as managers, so that when Jesus comes, he can see that we have readied people for Jesus' return. And we're to do that not because we feel guilty or feel like we have to, or there's some turn or burn kind of mindset going on in us, but because when Jesus returns, it will be an incredible day, and it is something to get excited about. Exactly. Amen. I didn't quite... He's getting there. Jesus is returning, so let's be excited. Let's be excited. I wonder whether you noticed what the master does when he returns in the first parable. I kind of brushed over it so I could come back to it at the end. That's how this parable is structured. Have a look with me at sentence 36, verse 36. Jesus says, "Those slaves the master will find alert when he comes will be blessed." He says, "I assure you, he will get ready. Have them, the slaves, recline at the table, then come and serve them." That is incredible. The normal way of doing things was the master was to return, the slaves were to open the door, they would put out a nice little supper, have his slippers waiting for him, and they would serve on him. But when this master returns, it is the master that will serve the slaves. Jesus is returning, and when he returns, he will serve you and he will serve me. He served us on his first visit to earth. He lived the life we couldn't live. He died the death we should have died. He rose to new life so that we can rise too. And when he returns a second time, he will come to both judge this world. He will come as judge. And he will come and save his people. When Jesus returns, he will bring the justice that we scream for. Look at the news. He'll bring the hope that we long for, that we've prayed for, that we've yearned for. When Jesus returns, he will destroy all that is evil. When Jesus returns, he will usher in a perfect world. He will wipe away every one of your tears. You won't mourn for the people that you leave behind. You won't mourn for the hurts in your life, the things that grieve you most, that trouble you most. Jesus will scrub them away. He will wipe them away. When Jesus comes, those things will feel like a dream that we've had in the night. And we've woken into a reality with Jesus that is wonderful. He will stop the mourning. He will stop death. He will eradicate sin. Hurts will be undone. I went to the men's convention yesterday with a few guys from church, and I was chatting to a guy who'd become a Christian a few years ago, and he'd been in prison. He'd become a Christian while he was in prison. He'd been a drug addict, and he found Jesus. And I was chatting with him over a coffee and, you know, the things that you have at these conventions. And I said, "Brother, I'm speaking on the return of Jesus tomorrow. What do I need to say to people?" He said, "Tell them to get excited. Tell them to get excited." He said, "Sin will be no more. Hurt will be no more. Jesus is coming and the pain will be over." So I'm telling you that from my mate Dave. Are you ready for Jesus? Are you excited about Jesus? We don't know when he's coming. He's at the very gates. He could return any second. I want to close by just showing you this guy. This is a guy who I loved as a teenager. I grew up in the 90s, and this bloke is called Flavor Flav. And he's famous for wearing a clock around his neck. He's famous. Anyone remember Flavor Flav? Lester's got the poster. Famous for wearing a clock around his neck. And he wears a clock around his neck. He was asked in an interview, "Why do you wear a clock around your neck?" He said, "Well, it looks good, but it also reminds me that every second is precious." We need the proverbial clock around our necks. Time is precious. Jesus is returning. We don't know when. It will be a great day for God's people. It will be a terrifying day for others. So let's give him our life, give him our all. Let's not give him our scraps. Let's give him the very best and worship him with all that we have. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise you that you don't leave us in the dark, that you remind us, you have reminded us this morning that Jesus is returning. And so, Lord, we do pray that we would be ready. If we're not yours, help us to pray that prayer today. Help us to be ready this second. Help us to live light to this world. Help us to leave at a moment's notice. Help us to have our eyes fixed on the horizon, knowing that the next thing on the agenda is Jesus' return. And help us, Lord, to be excited about it. In the abstractness of that idea, help us to be excited, because when Jesus returns, it will be glorious and it will be wonderful. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to ready others for those you've put in our lives. We pray for them now. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to ready them. So use us, give us the words, give us the opportunities, and give us the wonder and the delight in your Son. And we pray in your mighty name. Amen.